Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in an age that is gorged on information and at the same time is starving for truth. Never before has humanity had such knowledge and access to knowledge. And yet, the more we know, the less certain we are about what is true. History is all but forgotten. Moral wisdom is abandoned. Shared understanding as a culture has been lost. I have said this before, and I am even more convinced of it today. In many ways, we have entered another dark age. Not beginning it, we are in the middle of it. And we're in this dark age not from scarcity, but from doubt. We are not suffering from a lack of information. We are suffering from a lack of formation. This is why the question that Pilate asked Jesus 2,000 years ago still echoes even today. Just a few yards, perhaps, from the very steps that Jeremiah declared to the city of Jerusalem, God's coming judgment, the new oppressor, Rome itself, says to the Word of God incarnate, "What is truth?" Now, Scripture answers that question in three ways. There are three witnesses. There are many more, but I want to lift up these three today. The first, which comes from our Old Testament reading today, in our Bible study, we studied the beginning of that condemnation that was to come. In today's reading in Jeremiah 26, we now see the realization of the preparation that began in Jeremiah 7. Here Jeremiah, the prophet, stands before the priests of the temple, other prophets who tell the government what it is they want to hear, and in front of all of the people of the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah, and he gives them this message: amend your ways and your deeds. I know we make fun of pastors and preachers who say these kinds of things, the kind that say, repent, turn back to the Lord. But what I want to talk to you a little bit about isn't about the tone of that declaration, but the situation of those who receive it. Me and you, our world, our culture, maybe even our own nation. We don't like repentance. We don't like it. The ancient residents of Jerusalem had their religion. They had their good feelings. They had their temple. They had their ornately dressed priests over there. They were doing what they were supposed to do. But they did not want to repent. They did not want to have concern for the poor, the widow, the orphan. And if they on Tuesday wanted to go to the party celebrating the god Baal or Molech or the goddess Asherah, that was their business. They'd be at temple on Saturday. The Levites, the priest, and certainly this prophet Jeremiah can keep his nose out of my personal life. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do for you. Now you let me do what I want to do over here. It's that age-old experience that all of us know to be true because we've experienced it, and that's this: truth always exposes pride. We want to be the destinies of our own life. We want to decide what we want to do. We want to do what feels good for us. And when anyone stands up and says, no, there's something more than you, there's something bigger than you, when somebody stands up and says, no, it's not just the outward functions that you do, it is the heart, the mind, the body, the soul. Remember Jesus' command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Whenever truth confronts a culture that has grown comfortable with falsehood, the messenger becomes the enemy. Truth is not determined by power. Truth is not determined by popularity. And you try it. You speak the truth that there are but male and female, for that is what God's word says. You try it and say, life is sacred. We are created in the image of God from conception to natural death. See what happens. You say it, that the Bible says that a man shall leave his mother and father and cling only unto his wife. You say it, that a husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church, and that a wife is called to submit to her husband. You say those things, even in church, in some places, and see what happens. Those are truths. Truths that challenge power, that challenge popularity. And we might be asked, why do you say such vile, hateful things? Because our truth is determined by the Word of God. Like you, my brothers and sisters, when I stand in front of the Word of God, I stand equally condemned. When I stand before the law, as it is properly spoken, preached, and applied, I stand condemned. Centuries later, Martin Luther would say before the emperors and the bishops, my conscience is captive to the Word of God. It's not by accident that 600 years later, after Jeremiah was falsely accused and charged and harassed, another man would stand trial near that same spot, who simply spoke God's word, who healed, who cured the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, allowed the lame to walk. And Jesus stood on trial. His teachings challenged the power and prosperity and corruption of the temple as he watched the people of God wander in darkness. Or as Paul would say, as darkness. And like Jeremiah, the religious leaders accused Jesus. And Pilate asks Jesus a haunting question, what is truth? It's not by accident that when Christ was healing and giving new life to people, that the religious leaders had the audacity to say that he was working on behalf of the demons as he was doing good things. Because the truth is unbearable. And the irony with Pilate is the answer to his question was standing right in front of him. Truth is not an idea. It's not a philosophy. Truth is a person. The eternal Son of God entered a world of lies and deception to save sinners. Before Pilate was the Lamb of God who carried away the sins of the world. And the greatest truth in the universe is this. You want to know what is true? Here's what is true. Christ died, Christ rose again, and Christ forgives sinners. Through the cross, God accomplished salvation. And the light of Christ shines even where the world seeks darkness. And God has given to us His Word. He's given to us His sacraments. This is His medicine. This is how He says, I'm going to give this in ways that you can touch, that you can taste, that you'll know it's true. And even then we have said, no, that can't be how you work. We must not understand what your word says, because our way is better than the word of God's way. When Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus, it's a city filled with competing religions and moral confusion. It's a world that's very much like ours. And Paul says, at one time you were darkness, not in darkness, not influenced by darkness. You were darkness. But now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. You were darkness, but now you're light. Not because you discovered truth, but because Christ brought you into His light through His word, through baptism, and through the forgiveness of our sins. You remember that night when you walked home one time in complete darkness? When you were walking through the bedroom or the living room, you were moving slowly, feeling your way around. You kind of knew where the furniture was, but you weren't really sure. But when you flip on that light, everything is revealed. The furniture didn't move. The room didn't change. The light simply revealed what was already there. This is what Christ does in His Word. He reveals our sin that we know is already there. He calls us to repent of it. He calls us to His altar where He forgives us. And that grace flows from this cross to that altar to you. And to walk in the light means living in the truth Christ has given. And these are just real things. Speak and live truthfully. Tell the truth. Honor your marriage. Honor your family. Put down the device and the screen and read a children's book to your child. Act with integrity. Love and serve faithfully. Show kindness. Do your work with diligence. Raise children in God's word. Let Christ shape your life. Martin Luther said, begin every morning confessing your sins. What sins? I haven't done anything. Consider the Ten Commandments. Consider your vocations. Why? Not because you need to figure out what you've done wrong, but because an awareness of our sin, an awareness of our rebellion against God, awareness of our brokenness humbles us, and humility gives us the strength and the courage to trust in His forgiveness and follow the guidance of His word. Now here's the uncomfortable thing. You and I can't flee the world, but we do live differently because Christ has made us children of light. And because of that, the darkness cannot overcome us. This may seem simple to you, but have you ever noticed light doesn't argue or negotiate with darkness? Light doesn't say, well, darkness, I've arrived. If you would just step into the other room while I illuminate this room, we all would just get along fine. Light doesn't pay any attention to darkness, does it? It just comes into the room. It doesn't negotiate. It doesn't have conversations with. It just simply shines. And so when Pilate asks, what is truth? Truth is the word of God calling sinners to repentance. Truth is the Savior who died and rose for forgiveness and raises you and me in baptism. Truth is the light of Christ shining in our lives, and at the altar He feeds us. And when Jeremiah spoke the truth, he was facing death, and we may have to face death as well. Jesus embodied the truth. He was the truth. And what did we do with it? We crucified it. And now Christ sends His church to live in that truth. And death is a distinct risk. So walk as the children of light. Cling to the word of Christ that he has given you. And trust in this promise. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.